Pastor Kerry Willis, and with a heart of joy, I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us for today's broadcast. We hope today's broadcast will be a half hour of hope for your life.
And hope is surely alive this season of the year. We've just come past Thanksgiving, and we are looking now at the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is that season leading up to Christmas. Advent, in its very definition, means arrival. And the idea is that we are remembering the anticipation of that first Christmas morning. Yes, when Jesus Christ would be born, the hope of the world, the Savior of the world, born in Bethlehem. And so we have four Sundays called Advent, and the season is Advent. And then we roll right into Christmas Day this year, which will be on a Sunday. And that will be a glorious remembrance for us indeed. But we don't want to just celebrate the one day Christmas. We want to have a season that gets us ready so we can truly be grateful for all that God has done, in that we were a world lost and we needed a Savior to come and find us. And that's exactly what God did when Father God came down the staircase of heaven carrying his bouncing baby boy and had him born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. He came to bring the glory of heaven to planet Earth and to bring us a way back to heaven. And that is a glorious season indeed. I hope you've been enjoying some of the Christmas music. Even though it's early in the season, some don't like to start early. But I can tell you on today, this Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, it is time for the Christmas music to play. It is time to sing the Christmas carols. And I pray that your heart will lean into today's broadcast and that you will be anticipating Christmas this year like no other year before. You know, Grayson, we really need Christmas. I say this often throughout the year, that looking forward to Christmas in some way gives me a hope on the horizon. So when I say that, Grayson, we really need Christmas, what kind of commentary might you add to that?
Well, I was just thinking about how we need Jesus, because that's why we celebrate Christmas, is because we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ coming to this earth as a human, being born as a baby to Mary and Joseph. And we need hope, we need encouragement, and we need everything that the season represents.
Yes, we do. You've heard the saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, there's another statement that I like even better. It says, Jesus is the season, but you are the reason. And I think that Jesus is the season of Advent for us, and we are the reason that he came in the first place. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life, eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through his Son. And so surely Jesus is the season of Christmas, and we are the reason for Christmas. I like doing Front Porch Talks with my son Grayson. The best part is when we share the seasonal topics, because family is always implied whenever we talk about the seasons of the year, like Christmas, like Easter, whatever the season may be. And it's always good to share the season with our loved ones, those nearest to us. Now, my heart goes out to you if you don't have a family during the season. And my prayer is that you will give a local church family the opportunity to be your family during this Christmas season. If you don't have a local church family, I pray that you would make a stop at our local church. I pastor and Grayson attends Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. We're located out on 1871 Boyers Road, just east of Harrisonburg. And we would love to have you be a part of our Christmas family through this season of Advent. I think it would be meaningful for you, if you don't have a church family, to just come and just give us a try. You know, after Christmas, you can make other decisions, but how can it hurt to at least take a shot at coming and letting a local church love on you and be a part of the Christmas season? So we invite you, if you want to look online at our church services and the things that will be going on, you can go to www.abeaconofhope.org. abeaconofhope.org. And we would love to have you. Let me just tell you that for the Christmas ending season, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, on Christmas Eve, December the 24th, we will be having a candlelight celebration on Christmas Eve. It will be at 6 p.m. here at our church. Also, on Sunday morning, Christmas Day, we'll have a 10:30 Christmas service. 10:30 a.m., yes, 10:30 in the morning. So I just want you to put that on your calendar in case you don't have a family, a church family, and you want to not celebrate Christmas alone this year, but you want to be in the midst of others who could be your brothers and sisters someday. So I invite you. Now, if you have a church home or you have an option of a local church family, please go to any church that lifts Jesus Christ up as the Savior of the world. And I believe that your heart will be warmed, especially during the Christmas season. And so Grayson and I, we're here as father and son. Most of you know that. And so when we talk about Christmas, we have a whole lot of memories. We have stories we can talk about. And so Grayson, I don't know if you have maybe one Christmas memory that is fresh on your mind that you might want to share. If you do, go ahead and do that now. And then I'm going to share and read a story from a book that is pretty close to my desk here, close to my heart. And I want to read a few stories about Christmas, but maybe Grayson, you have a story of your own that's meaningful about a past Christmas.
Well, Dad, I have a lot of great Christmas memories. I know that our family gets together for the Willis Christmas every year. Used to, we went down to North Carolina to your parents, my grandparents' house, and usually we did Christmas with them on Christmas Eve night, and then we would go to mom's house, my other grandmother, her house on Christmas Day. And I know recently we've been having Christmas at you and mom's house on Christmas Day. We always have the Christmas Eve service here at church and usually have some friends over Christmas Eve night after the Christmas Eve service. So those are the things that come to my mind, just spending time with family, whether it be on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, or before or after Christmas, whenever we're able to arrange time to meet with family. But it's just spending that quality time, and especially with my grandfather, your dad, I call him Papa, not being with us anymore. Certainly, we have fond memories of Christmases with him and remember spending time with him and cherish those even more so now that he's not here.
Exactly. Christmas season is a tender season. Sometimes it's painful, and that's why I think we need Christmas, because there's healing in the season of Christmas. Even though we remember our losses at a greater depth during the Christmas season, we also sense that there's more healing available for us in the season of Christmas. The light seems brighter in the world during the Christmas season. Even our nation now, with all the the trouble going on in our nation, there seems to be a lot of conflict, and we need healing in our land. And I am so glad that Christmas is just on the horizon for us. Recently, one of the local pastors on our team here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, Pastor Roger, he talked about how the day after the election, he went somewhere in a store or business or somewhere, and they were playing Christmas music. And he said, I can't explain, but it felt like it was just perfect, that we needed that Christmas music. After a divisive election day, whichever way you go there, we're not talking about that, of course. We're just talking about the division, the disunity, the pain associated with separation of people groups and all of that in our land. And so we have Christmas that gives us hope that we can find healing for our land. Why is that? Because Jesus is the season, and Jesus is the healer. And we are the reason that he made the season of Christmas reality. I was reading a story years ago, and I want to read it for you now. It's a little bit of a sad story, but it makes such a poignant example of how we don't want to miss Christ in Christmas. And so listen closely as I read this story titled, The Christening. The story is told of a christening that was to be held many years ago by a very wealthy European family. Many guests were invited to the home for the occasion and came in the very latest fashionable garb. Their wraps and coats were carried to a bedroom and laid upon the beds. After the usual lot of conversation and commotion, they were ready for the christening ceremony, and someone asked, "Where is the baby?" The nurse was sent upstairs to look and returned in alarmed distress. The baby was nowhere to be found. After several minutes' search, someone remembered that the child had last been lying on one of the beds. And after a frantic search, the little child was found, smothered, under the coats and wraps of the guest. The chief reason why they had come had been forgotten, neglected, and destroyed. This Christmas, many will forget, neglect, and even destroy the Christ child. He is smothered by all of the activity. Let us make sure there is room for Jesus this Christmas. We know the first Christmas, there was no room for him at the inn. Let us not crowd Christ out of our Christmas this year. Grayson, when you hear that story, it is kind of easy for people to forget Christ at Christmas. I mean, I've heard of very secular people who celebrate Christmas. They might even have manger scene displays and things like that, but they forget that the season is about a real person, a real Savior, a baby who came to give us life. And so I'm all for the lights and the trees and the music and even the festivities to a certain level. But I want to make sure that we remember first and foremost that the season of Christmas is about a person, not a party. And if we're going to have a party, maybe a happy birthday Jesus party is in order. So when you think about Christmas and Christ, what thoughts also come to your mind, Grayson?
Well, Dad, certainly there's nothing wrong with those things that you mentioned. We just need to make sure that our priorities are in the right order and that we don't forget the reason for the season or forget Jesus and the real reason that we celebrate Christmas. It's easy to get wrapped up in the decorations or even, like you said, a nativity, but really not focusing on the meaning of the nativity. We just put it up because that's the thing to do or that's the traditional thing to do. We just do it out of habit. We don't want to just go through the holiday season out of habit, doing things because we have to do them or doing things because that's just what we've gotten accustomed to doing. But we want to take time to remember the season and take time to give God thanks for sending his son to be born on this earth. And ultimately, we know why he was born on this earth was to die for our sins so that we may spend eternity in heaven one day. And we want to take time to remember that and give thanks for the birth of Jesus Christ during this season, and also take time to give to others and help others and not just think about ourselves.
That's good, Grayson. And I think one of the greatest things about the Christmas season, at least in the United States of America where we live, is that the Advent season of Christmas is preceded by Thanksgiving Day. And so Grayson was talking about gratitude, you know, for a Savior who came to forgive us and to give us eternal life. And the idea that Thanksgiving, which just passed, leads us beautifully into this season that we dare not be ungrateful because God has given us a Savior in His Son. You know, I think during the Christmas season, one of the most wonderful things is to see the children enjoy Christmas. I want to read another little story that's been a favorite of mine for years, and it has a Christmas message. The little story is titled, Jesus with a Switch. The kids were putting on the Christmas play at the local church. To show the radiance of the newborn Savior, an electric light bulb was hidden in the manger. All the stage lights were to be turned off so that only the brightness of the manger could be seen. But the boy who controlled the light got confused. All the lights went out. It was a tense moment, broken only when one of the shepherds said in a loud stage whisper, "Hey, you switched off Jesus." I love that story. And so coming off of Thanksgiving and into Christmas, certainly, Grayson, we don't want to be guilty of switching off Jesus, but we want to be guilty of switching on Jesus and making sure that Jesus is the season, because he has certainly made sure we are the reason. So when you think about, you know, plays and things in the past, Grayson, I'm sure you've been in some Christmas dramas as a kid. How did that feel? What are some of the memories you have about playing the different parts of the Nativity when you were just a young boy?
Well, I remember, this isn't related to a play, but I was thinking about your mom had this Nativity set, and me and my sister Allison would always rearrange the animals and Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the angels, and then when we had younger cousins, they would do the same, and it was kind of goofy, but, I mean, it kind of taught us, you know, about the story, I guess, from a kid's perspective, and I was thinking, as you were telling that story about the kid switching off the lights and the shepherd saying, "Hey, you switched off Jesus." Well, that's a reminder that we have to become as a child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, that's a funny little story, but really, we don't want to switch off Jesus or forget Jesus in this season. And I was thinking about another story that I've heard you tell before about a kid's Christmas program where the little innkeeper forgot his line, and the lady in charge of the drama was trying to prompt him, and all of a sudden he couldn't bring himself to say the line, and he just said, "Come in, there's plenty of room," and the play was over, and there was loud applause from the audience, but he didn't want to turn away Jesus.
Yeah, he was not going to be guilty of switching off Jesus, even though the line of the innkeeper was supposed to be, "There's no room in the inn." He would not say that as he stood there and he looked at the Mary and Joseph and the little baby in front of him. He said, "Oh, come on in. There's plenty of room." And that is the way we want to live our lives this Christmas season. We want to make sure that we have room for Jesus. There was no room in the first story. They made room. They found a place for the baby to be born. However, we want to make sure that in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our homes, in our marketplace, that Jesus is not switched off. Now, we want to use love in having these conversations. Sometimes I see Christians, church people, whatever, and they're all upset because somebody says Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Well, I understand that, but we don't want our attitude to get switched off either. And so what I've done with some of my friends who like to say Happy Holidays, I just say Happy Holy Days, which really is what holidays is. And so sometimes we get kind of carried away with different ideas. And I love Merry Christmas. And some people ask me, "Pastor Kerry, what's your favorite greeting at Christmas?" And they kind of expect me to say Merry Christmas. But actually, I have my own greeting that I prefer. I say, "May the Bethlehem boy bring beautiful joy." You know, there are many things we can say to keep Jesus switched on. As a matter of fact, better than saying Merry Christmas, I think as believers we might say Blessed Christmas, you know, and just take it a notch. But the idea is that we don't want to switch Jesus off. We don't want to switch our attitudes off either. We want to make sure we show love to those who may not view things exactly the same way we do. Christmas is a time for us to be gentle with one another. It's a time for us to speak the truth in love, and it's a time for us to celebrate the life of the one who is our life, Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem. I was thinking a little bit ago about Christmas season and had a story of my own. Back when I was just a young boy, we would always have Christmas Eve at three different homes in our neighborhood, all family homes. First, we would make our way to my Aunt Edith and Uncle Bobby's house. Their son Mitchell lived there, my only first cousin still today. And we would watch them open their gifts to one another. And it was a joyful occasion, and we laughed a lot. And then we would leave, and we would come to our house. That was Mom and Dad's house, and I had two brothers. And so it was Mom and Dad and myself and Billy Joe and Stephen. And they would all watch us open our gifts, you know. And then finally, we would go to Granny and Granddaddy's house. And Granny and Granddaddy's house was the place where the rest of the gifts would be open, whatever was left. We were Christmas Eve people, you know. We had old St. Nick showing up on Christmas morning, but Christmas Eve was for the family to open all the presents. And we would also have our dessert at Granny's house. And I remember to this day, my granny's sister, her name was Aunt Dicey. She was so delightful. She could have been called Aunt Delightful. I still miss her and I still miss my granny. But my granny made what was called a jelly cake. And it was like apple jelly on a yellow cake, a baked cake. And they had taken red food coloring and colored the jelly red. And it's the most beautiful cake you've ever seen in your life. It sparkled like diamonds, you know, except they were red diamonds. And I remember the first time I saw that red cake, the anticipation. And my Aunt Dicey said, "It will be delicious." And that was the first time I ever heard the word delicious. Now, I tell that story because my Aunt Dicey embodied the attitude of Christmas. She was always joyful, upbeat. She was making sure her attitude was pointed upward for the whole family. And all my life, I've always wanted to be like my Aunt Dicey, who always brought a glow into the room, a good word, a smile. And she always had a curious wink in her eye. That to me was something God had given to her to give to me. It was like a gift of Christmas. And I still love those jelly cakes. My Aunt Edith still makes them from time to time. And just a couple years ago, my mother got the recipe and made one as well. So maybe this year I'll get some of that red jelly cake. But if I do or I don't, I want to make sure that I remember that I have a gift within me, maybe a twinkle in my eye of the presence of the Lord living in me, and I can bring that to others and let that attitude be switched on, that the presence of the Lord is alive and well in my life. And so there are many gifts we can give to people. Some are wrapped up in bows and paper, and those are fine. I like those gifts. But the greatest gift is that the presence of the Christ child lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so this Christmas, I pray that you don't get wrapped up just in the presence around the tree, but that you unwrap the presence of God in you and you make sure you give that gift to others. Grayson, when you think about some of the things I've said, what might you like to add at this point?
Yeah, Dad, certainly God gave us Jesus and we should want to give Jesus to other people, meaning like you were talking about, his presence. Well, his presence can be shown through us to other people that might not see Jesus through any other person. And so we can be his presence to those around us and encourage them in whatever way God leads us to do so. But we should just be looking for opportunities or be ready for opportunities that come our way and not miss opportunities that God gives us during this season to witness or share his good news with those around us and share the good news of his birth and just encourage others to know that he still wants to give us good gifts, like the best gift that he gave us on that first Christmas morning, which was the birth of his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. And so today, we want to leave you with a Christmas song to kind of back up all of this we've been sharing. So today we've talked about a few things. Here are some things on my mind after our conversation today. Let's not crowd Jesus out of Christmas. Let's not switch Jesus off. And let's make sure that we don't just focus on the presence around the tree, but the presence of the Christ child living in you and in me. And if he doesn't live in you, I pray that this will be the Christmas season where he finds room in you. I know at the first Christmas he couldn't find room at the inn, but I pray this Christmas he will find room in you and in me. This is a song that my dear friend Brian Arner sings. It's one of my most favorite Christmas songs, and Grayson mentioned my father, Captain Billy, who 2 years now has been with Jesus, and we miss him, but we're glad he's there in heaven. This was one of his favorite sayings toward the end of his life. He got it from this song. The song is titled, All Is Well. We pray that this broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your life. Now lean into the music and enjoy the message of the song. And may I say to you, the Bethlehem boy brings beautiful joy.
All is well, all is well. Angels and men rejoice. For tonight darkness fell into the dawn of love's light. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. All is well, all is well. Let there be peace on earth. Christ is come, so go and tell that He is in the manger. Sing
of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.